I was telling the 10 o'clock crowd that I attained a new record this year in my 3 years as priest. This year, I made it all the way to December 11th before finally succumbing to the winter sickness. Now, in previous years, this happened in August, September, and October. This year, I made it all the way to December. So I feel like next year, I'm going to make it all the way to January. I think I'll go the whole year. If I can go the whole year without being sick, that it would be like God's, God giving me increasing blessing. So I did get sick this week. I'm on the tail end of it. It wasn't very fun. However, it was also a moment for gratitude. So sometimes we can even be thankful for the things that stink because of the fact that God still shows us his goodness. So I thank God that this year, after 3 years, I made it to December. Praise God. So next year, you're going to have to sort of recall this and observe whether or not this weekend next year I'm still not coughing. But so if I'm a little bit froggy or if I cough, I'm really sorry for that. I'm pretty sure that I'm not contagious anymore. One whole church is going to find out next week if this half comes sick next week, because you're the one that I'll distribute communion to this week. We'll all know if it was the priest's fault. So this third Sunday of Advent, of course, every year is Gaudete Sunday. It's the Sunday of Rose. Rose is the rarest color of the liturgical year. We get to see this a grand total of 2 times ever each year. The beautiful color of rose. And rose, the rarity of this color is a good sort of diving board to consider the rarity of what God asks us perhaps to consider, right? The rare things, the beautiful things, we'll say the valuable, the very valuable things, especially the value of grace and how the road of grace, the experience of grace, the increase of grace can sometimes look like a rare feat or a rare opportunity, a special opportunity. God, in his goodness, makes it clearly evident through the entire Old Testament that he is perfectly okay asking people to wait a long time so that they may believe in, we'll say, the value, the preciousness of his grace, which is, of course, in a lot of ways how we measure value in the created things. Why is gold so valuable? It's rare. Why are diamonds so valuable? They're rare. They're hard to come by. So the precious things, the valuable things, often are hard to get at or hard to find, hard to receive. They cost a lot to assume, to possess, right? So God, throughout the entire Old Testament, is offering this reflection, this sort of generations, many, many, many generations long invitation to his people, asking them to wait expectantly for him. And the images that God uses according to sort of their own lifestyle, the agricultural images, I think are still really beautiful and descriptive of what this invitation, how it's experienced. I was just talking to one of our theology teachers this past week about what it means to teach in a Catholic school and the fact that we want to give our kids really good things and prepare them for the way of God in their hearts and give them grace and all this stuff. And he's like, it feels, being a teacher has felt a lot like being a gardener. He was describing to me how in the past several years his family has gotten into gardening. And they're like, we plant our own vegetables, this, that, and the other thing in the garden on our own property. And he says it's the scariest part about gardening is in the springtime when you clear away all the ground, you till the soil, you prepare everything, you plant the seeds, and then you bury them, and then nothing. And you can't do anything. You just have to wait And he says, the scary part is, you don't know if you did it right. You think you might have done it right, but there's really no telling, and you can't actually check either, because if you were to try and check to see if the seeds are growing, you'll actually destroy the plant before it even rises above the ground. So in that sense, the horrible part about gardening, about waiting, the patience, it kills you, because you just want to know. You just want to know if it was done right. And there's no way to know except to wait. And he said that being a teacher is a lot like this. When you want to give, you know that you're giving your students really good things and you're planting seeds of grace. And the hardest part about it is knowing that you've planted seeds and there's nothing you can do anymore. At least you can't cause the growth. Only God can do that. A lot of times we just have to wait. It's hard. The virtue of waiting is, we'll say, a rare virtue, because let's be honest, none of us wants to wait for anything. I don't. It's hard. But God gives us this invitation to wait, and to give us this invitation to wait with true and hopeful and trusting expectation, because he wants us to believe in his goodness. He wants us to be convinced that grace is valuable. It's not cheap. We don't get it cheaply. And by asking us to wait, it actually is the way that God keeps us honest with ourselves and honest with him, so that we don't, we'll say, try to cheat our way to grace. That's not what God has come to do. And that's not the way that God comes to transform us. Which is, we all know it's a true, but perhaps sobering reality of Christianity is that this is the way that growth works in our lives of faith, and it stinks because we feel like it takes too long. But every once in a while, God gives us these moments of clarity where he allows us to look back on something and see how that has borne fruit. This is actually kind of a special time of year for me in my life, this month of December, because this month of December this year is the 10-year anniversary of a seed of grace that I planted in my life at 22 years old. That took a long time to grow, but is now finally bearing some really beautiful fruit. It was 10 years ago this month that I prayed to God and made the decision that I was going to enter seminary to discern whether or not God was calling me to be a priest. And that decision was the fruit of a prayer that I had made several months beforehand, a very powerful, very simple, very vulnerable prayer, which you've probably heard me talk about before. I've mentioned it several times, and this was the prayer that I made at 22 years old. I said, God, I will do anything. I'll do anything for you if you just tell me, if you just show me. And I prayed that prayer at a time in my life where I didn't know what I was doing at all. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know where my life was headed. I didn't know why my desires weren't working out. All I knew was that in my life there were things that were missing that needed to be present and that weren't, and I didn't know how to get them there. I didn't know how to attain it for myself. But I had to make a decision to believe that God was going to attain those things for me, and so I said that prayer, God, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. I promise if you just show me. And I took that seed and I planted it very deep as I knew how, into the soil of my own heart. And then I had to wait. And God took his good time to answer that prayer and to make that seed of grace grow. And I was just thinking about that this week now, 10 years later, standing up on an altar, wondering to myself, if I never prayed that prayer 10 years ago, would you be hearing my voice in this moment? I mean, who knows? We don't know. But it's possible. It's possible you wouldn't have been hearing my voice. So God gave me this opportunity just, in this sort of fall season coming into December, just to kind of be able to reflect upon the fact that his grace began to move in me because of a grace he gave me initially to pray 10 years ago that now is bearing fruit in some really beautiful and wonderful ways. And I can't help but see that in a different light, in a way that I couldn't have seen it at the time that I prayed it. When I prayed that prayer, I had no idea. I could not possibly have imagined what my life would be like or where I would be 10 years later. I would not have been able to predict this for you. But it's undeniable to me in my own heart to see, to witness, this is what God did. And nobody can prove me wrong, right? I experienced it for my own self. This is the way that grace moves, right? Not by the way of, we'll say, scientific proof like the law of gravity, but to be able to say, I can witness to this because I've seen it in my life. And nobody can take that away from me. And then I can testify to the way that that grace has moved. There's a really important seed that was planted in my heart. And God, 10 years later, is still making that seed grow. And it makes me really grateful. And it helps me to have a realistic perspective on how God moves and how God changes us and how God transforms us, which is not in, usually speaking, not in immediate ways, like we said, which stinks. But if we persevere in that prayer and remain honest before God and we mean what we say, God makes promises that he doesn't go back on. And sooner or later, we will have a new vision of what was so that we can see what God is doing and hope for what God will do right in the future. And that's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary thing. And it actually was this beautiful cause for conversation that I was having this morning as I was driving back to Jackson from my mom and dad's house, and I was praying about it, and God asked me a question this morning as I was driving that he's never asked me before. And he said, so what's your next 10-year prayer? And I thought, I don't know. I've never thought about that before. You've never asked me that before. Even this morning, God began to do something new in me that I've never heard him say to me before. And he said it to me just today. What's your next 10-year prayer? And I was like, I've never prayed that. Has anyone here ever prayed, what's your next 10-year prayer? I don't know. If you haven't, there you go. What's your next 10-year prayer? Do we pray with that view? God, what do you want me to do today that you will make bear fruit in 10 years from now? You know, most of the time, if we think about it, we pray for the stuff that we need answers to probably in the moment, do we not? And that's good, of course. There's nothing wrong. We should pray for those things. And then God says, but don't forget, you don't have needs just now. You're going to have needs next decade. What are you going to do now to ask? What are you going to ask me to do for you now so that I can do that for you in 10 years? I don't know if God could have asked me that question 10 years ago, but now he can because of something that he initiated and now he's bearing. Right? Don't you see? Do you see how this is really a beautiful way? Like when we come to Rose Sunday, this Sunday where God invites us to have real hopeful expectation. Not expectation, hopeful expectation, and what we think the world can give us and the way that the world tries to answer us to say, like, yeah, you just put in your X outcomes, the Y, you click a button, and it ships to you from Amazon. All you got to do is a thing, and it's going to be to you, for you, with you immediately. And the Lord's like, all right, that's how the world does it, but that's not how I do it. Don't expect those things, because grace isn't that cheap. Grace is so much more valuable. What's your next 10-year prayer? And if you've never prayed one, maybe pray one. Maybe think about that this week. Because the worst thing for us to do, and this isn't my idea, this is what a very wise person once told me, was to remember that God not only gives us the grace to wait, but he also gives us the grace to receive it when it finally comes. And God have mercy on us if we miss it when it arrives. This was one of the greatest lessons that God gave through his own chosen people who waited a long, long time, dozens and dozens and dozens of generations, for God's promises, for the hopeful expectation that he was going to do something, that he was going to save them. And he did, and he finally brought the Messiah. And many of them missed it. Think about it. How horrible to miss it. So this is the two sides, right, of the equation of grace. Number one, to have the beautiful invitation from a loving God that says, you can expect these things from me. Will you persevere? Will you believe in my promise? Will you plant those seeds that I will bear fruit, even if it's 10 years from now? Will you believe that those prayers were good? And on the other hand, will you persevere so that when that grace is bearing fruit, you won't miss it? It's a beautiful, powerful lesson. This day when we get to see the rare color of rose, we get to remember who God is and how God moves. That God is very comfortable with us having to take our time. God is very comfortable having to take his time, because he wants us to be convinced of how good and how valuable, even sometimes how rare, grace can be. And if we keep ourselves honest and if we persevere, we will see all things come to pass, all grace bear its fruit exactly as our Father wills it.